Welcome to Inside the Newsroom, the Sentinel Records weekly podcast that takes a closer look at news and sports in Garland County. For this episode of Inside the Newsroom, we will be listening to an interview I conducted with Derek Phillips, the general manager of Majestic Park, Hot Springs' premier baseball complex.
Sure.
I think it'd be interesting to kind of establish this before we ask other questions, but what's the history and significance of Majestic Park and its location and kind of Hot Springs baseball legacy?
That's a big question. It goes way back. Back in the Babe Ruth baseball era, you know, he played here at this facility right across the street from our office. Many other Hall of Famers played here as well. So to have those kind of names, Hall of Famers, and we have five of our fields named after five Hall of Famers that played in Hot Springs. Babe Ruth, Cy Young, Jackie Robinson, Hank Aaron, and Honus Wagner are some of the Hall of Famers that played in Hot Springs that we named our fields after. And so, I mean, you just really can't find that kind of history really probably hardly anywhere outside of a major league city where so many people like Hall of Famers in the 1920s and 30s spent a lot of time getting ready with spring training. Hot Springs, if you look it up, it says it was the birthplace of spring training. And so that's just really a unique thing that you just won't find everywhere, you know, and it's just really cool. And one of the big reasons we put this new park back here on this site.
So what can you tell me about the spring training tradition? Like what brought the baseball teams to Hot Springs initially?
Well, I don't know for sure. I think part of it was just, you know, to come to a warmer climate. A lot of the major league cities were well north of here, and I think it was the Chicago White Sox maybe were the first team to come here, I want to say in the early 1900s. And I think to have a good time in Hot Springs might have been a big part of it.
That's fair. And Majestic Park opened in 1909, is that correct, or way back?
I believe it was
1908,
when the Chicago White Sox first started spring training here.
And you guys reopened very recently. How long had it not been open or kind of?
2017, I believe, was the last season played here by the youth league ran by the Hot Springs Boys and Girls Club. So 2017 was the last season. It set for a couple years with not much of anything going on. They tore the park down when the club closed. And then there was a plan started by Visit Hot Springs, Steve Arison, and a committee of people interested in baseball here, Mike Dugan being one of the leaders of that with several others in the community. Jonathan Hamner was big in that. To put a baseball park back here and create something new to have a league for our local kids and a travel venue, which can really help create a lot of tourism, which it has. We play every weekend. We get teams from all over. We've got colleges from all over. Two of our local colleges play, it's their home field, so they bring in teams constantly, which puts people in our hotels, which is great for us because we're part of Visit Hot Springs, and it's AP, which is tourism.
And what can you tell me about the collegiate baseball? I recall seeing the Nighthawks practicing.
The Nighthawks and the Tigers, Champions and National Park. It's their home field. They play their home games here, practice here. And so they've enjoyed playing here. It's a great facility for that. We've had other college tournaments as well. We had one, our very first actual on-the-field playing tournament was the first weekend of February when there was so much ice. Once the ice melted, we played. We had 9 college teams come to town. And then just recently, 3 weeks ago, we hosted the GAC Conference Baseball Championship, which was won by Southern Arkansas, who this weekend won their regional to go to the World Series. So that's really cool. Yeah, there was 4 teams at our February tournament that advanced to the College World Series in Division II. Southern Arkansas, Henderson State, Wichita Baptist, and Northeastern University. So that was really cool to have some teams have some really good success in our early tournament, move on in the World Series, and SAU actually move into the actual final stage of the World Series. So that's really cool, really interesting. Have these college games here.
So it's the whole range from children all the way to collegiate baseball?
Yes, we actually have played as young as 7 and 8s on the big field. The bases we can move on every field, from the little kids play on as short as 60 foot. Of course, adults and major leaguers and college and high school even play on 90 foot bases. We can move the bases to any distance and put any game on that field. And so we've had it all. We've had as young as 7, 8 year olds up to college. And this weekend actually starts our collegiate league, summer league. It's a wood bat league. It'll be pretty interesting to see how that goes. We've got 4 teams, kind of a showcase type premier like league. They'll run for 6 weeks. And then we have a 16 through 18 World Series on that field. And then we're going to take a little break.
So with Majestic Park reopening kind of after the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic, is that correct? So how was COVID a factor, and how did the timing work out? Was it kind of perfect timing in a way?
It really wasn't perfect timing. It was good timing in many ways. So when we started actually the actual bidding of the project and the construction, it's pretty much when COVID started in that early 2020 time frame. And you know, a lot of parks and kids weren't getting to play because that first summer, a lot of programs had just shut down. And so that was good timing on that part. The fact that, you know, we didn't have the park built, but no one was playing anyway, so that didn't matter. Then in the second year, you know, some supply chain things started to slow us down a little bit, but we knew it was gonna be a 12 to 15 month process. So we weren't, and we had hoped we'd play in 2021. We'd also hoped that COVID would be gone in 2021. You know, we just didn't know what to expect, obviously. And the park got done late in the fall, and a handful of things supply chain-wise really started to, you know, affect us. But we were able to get the park ready to play, which was great, and people have enjoyed it from all levels of play. But with COVID, you know, kind of where it is now, we're back about our business, but still, you know, aware of COVID. And the park opening this year, it was good timing in that part, you know, that there was no restrictions on outdoor sports like there was when it first hit, and maybe a little bit last summer. We played outdoors, didn't have restrictions, and didn't have to do certain anything to make it more complicated to play because of COVID. So that was good timing on that part of it. Really just a couple of supply chain things, you know, slowed us down a little bit, but we were still 100% ready to play ball on the field, so that's good.
Let's see, and what have the attendance numbers been for the facility since opening?
The attendance has been great. We did host the GAC Conference Championship I mentioned and the 5A State Championship. Our stadium area was beyond packed. We had huge crowds for that. That was great. For our league, I think the excitement in the community to bring a league back to the kids that have been missing for about 5 seasons, a lot of interest in that. I think we just saw a lot of people here, even not family members, just coming to just check it out. It's a beautiful park too, so well designed and constructed, and it's more than just here's some ball fields and a bathroom. It's really decorative and pretty, and there's more things to come. Actually, some really soon and some as late as, you know, next February. But you go to a game and each field, almost whether it's a league game or a tournament game or a premier game on the big field, it's they're all well attended. I think people are just really excited to come to this park or in the community to see our local kids playing again.
And what are some of the things that are coming up, if I may ask?
Well, we have some historical signage. That's one of the supply chain things that's moved really slow. And so in our sidewalks and our entrances on the north end of the park, there'll be like a walk-in type signage, two-sided signage that will have anything from a You Are Here map on one side to the other side having the history of what Babe Ruth did here, what the Negro Leagues did here, what Hank Aaron did here, what Cy Young did here, and there's going to be a walk-in of really good-looking signs along the sidewalk that I think will really look good and give something for people to actually see as they come in, this history and these signages. You know, we have the amazing historic baseball trail here in Hot Springs. And those signs are great, but it's not here at the park. So now when you come in and out, you can actually see as you walk by, oh, Honus Wagner did this. Oh, the School of Baseball was here. The Negro League group came through. I mean, it was just so much amazing history of baseball. and we're going to try to, you know, make it where it's really seen when you come in, as opposed to having to go look for it.
For local content like this and much more, subscribe to the Sentinel Record by visiting hotsr.com and clicking subscribe.
Do you feel that Majestic Park is kind of reclaiming Hot Springs baseball legacy in a way?
I really do. We like to say it's where baseball's past meets baseball's future. Just from the success of the first season, the support we've had from, you know, Visit Hot Springs and Mr. Arison, and the cool events we've had here. Like the very first event we had here was Kevin Copps, former Razorback, great baseball pitcher, first year a rookie in the major leagues this year. We're really wanting to have a premier facility with premier events, plus host our local league. And so, yeah, I think we've got big plans to do what you just said, for sure.
The youth season concludes June 2nd. What are the standings, and will there be a tournament to conclude the season?
No, typically in regular seasons we don't do a championship playoff. We play a regular season, depending on the number of teams in each league. Everybody tries to play everybody once. We had a little bit of rough weather. We missed a couple games. Not near as many as anywhere else because we have the artificial turf. I mean, it's really hard to rain us out. The only time we really get rained out is when there's thunderstorms or possible tornadoes or stuff like that. It's amazing how much you can play on those fields, whether it's got a little snow or a little water on them. It can rain and stop and you just go play right then. You don't have to touch them and just get back on them and go. The Youth League will conclude this week, and then we'll move into the league postseason All-Stars. And about 35% of the kids make the postseason for leagues, so the league All-Stars, it comes up at the end of the month. We're hosting the 5 and 6 year old T-ball state tournament, and the other age groups from 5 to 15 go around the state and play state tournaments at other sites.
But moving into summer and fall, you mentioned a break, but what events are coming up at Majestic Park? Will there be programs, will there be expanding, or will there be more tournaments added moving into next year?
I don't know if there will be more tournaments because we played every weekend, so I don't know where else we would put another tournament. We started in early February, and we play a tournament every weekend through the end of July. And then, so we have when I say a break, it's about 3 weeks, and then we pick up baseball weekend is August 27th weekend. That'll be our first fall tournament. We have a tournament almost every weekend in the fall, and I'm sure by the time fall gets here, we'll have them all filled. And then for next season, you know, we'll expand on the league a little bit. I'm sure it'll grow. First year of the league, I think, you know, there was a ton of interest. We had over 500 kids. I really believe that's going to grow, though. I really do. And so we may have to expand to another day or a few weekends for our league, or, you know, something a little bit different for our league to be able to take on some growth. And then as far as tournaments go, you know, we've planned the fall and we're working on the spring, and it'll be busy. And we're shooting for the 5A, not the 5A, sorry, we hosted the 5A baseball and softball high school tournament. We're shooting for the finals next year to get all the classifications, state final games in here.
And Majestic Park offered scholarships for youths interested in playing that met the criteria. How many were given out this season to help students play, and will those scholarships continue moving forward? And also, what's the process for obtaining a scholarship?
So yes, the scholarship fund will continue. We created a 501c3 Majestic Park Scholarship Fund. We get donations to that. We have fundraising for that. We have an application when you go to register online to play in the Spring League. If you want a scholarship, click here, and it kind of takes you into that process. We were able to award every child that applied for a scholarship a scholarship. And we were so fortunate this year too that Hot Springs School District helped fund about 20% of those kids as well. So the interest for those kids to play that can't afford it is huge in the community and here at the park. I mean, we know there's kids in the community, in the neighborhood, and everything that really can't afford to play, and we want to provide them the money to pay for the registration and help provide them equipment. That's what the 501c3's mission is, to pay for kids that can't afford it and provide them equipment. Baseball can be a little bit more of an expensive sport because of the additional equipment sometimes, you know, bats helmets and catcher's gear and gloves. Those things are can be fairly expensive. We were so fortunate this year to not only leave this out. I believe it was last fall and early this spring or late in the winter, probably late winter, we went on social media and to the community, you know, said, hey, if you've got old stuff that, you know, you want to get rid of or if you want to donate, please drop it off here at the office. And we got baseballs and gloves and bats and shoes. I mean, you'd be surprised how many kids have, you know, how kids grow out of shoes really fast, right? So buy a new pair of cleats, put them in the closet, buy the next pair and forget about those. And then you want to get rid of them. This is the place to bring them because those are really good shoes and we can give those to kids that will look at those shoes like they're the greatest pair of shoes they ever got, you know? And so we were very fortunate with the support this year. We did do a fishing tournament in January that raised a couple $1,000. I really hope that grows annually to be a good event to help support that. I think we spent around $10,000 or $12,000 in scholarships and equipment for the kids. So I think we can sustain that for many years to come.
And final question, what's your personal interest or reward or kind of stake in this? What inspires you to be involved in all this?
Probably the biggest thing is my history here with this site as well. I moved to Hot Springs in 2002 to run the programs for the Boys and Girls Club and just got to see just an amazing community that works together to support kids to, you know, do these activities, to have something fun and recreational to do. Made a lot of friends over the years. And, you know, just to see the kids have a place to play ball and provide them that activity and help them out with it is near and dear to my heart because I spent, you know, almost 10 years here and it was a very special time to me. And so to come back and do it again at this new park is really my personal interest. I have a young man I coached against because I coached a ton of teams when I worked at the Boys and Girls Club that we hired onto our staff. You know, so it's really neat to see kids that we worked with. He also coaches in the T-ball league. And to see these young people that I worked with a long time ago when I worked here, working for us, working with us, coaching, teaching these kids, having kids in the program, it just is real rewarding to see that.
This has been an episode of Inside the Newsroom. New episodes are released every Thursday. Thank you for listening.